You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, Living in Confidence. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
The picture was dramatic. A teenager was rolled up in a large ball trying to sleep on a cold and wintry street in Chicago. After describing the sorry state of street people in Los Angeles and Chicago and other large cities, Newsweek magazine stated that the new arrivals on the street are mostly young people. Years ago, it was primarily the elderly who ended up destitute and out in the streets. But today, more and more teenagers and young men and women have decided to give up on life. And the question is why, and the answer is simple. More and more young people today are convinced and believe that the future is too formidable, and the odds they face are too impossible. Trying to get an education and then trying to find a job and hearing rumors that there will no longer be any social security, these are the daunting giants of life that they do not want to face. However, young people are not alone in their fear of facing the future. Whereas several decades ago there was unbridled enthusiasm for the future throughout the land, today there is, at best, guarded optimism. This, then, is the time for all of us to recall that historic and biblical event when God asked His children to get a new start and to move out of the shadows of pessimism and to take the step of faith and to move ahead. Yes, in the Bible, we see how God was urging His children to occupy the new land of Canaan, even though there were giants that they had to face. Recalling how God had so graciously treated them in the past, these men and women could have said yes. They could have responded with conviction, and they should have moved ahead with boldness. From their past experience, they had every reason to be assured that God would indeed be with them, not only to protect them, but also to prosper them. Tragically, however, as the Bible explains, for their future, these people looked to themselves instead of God. They put their faith in their own finite power instead of the infinite might of the Almighty. And because they refused to trust in our gracious God, our loving Lord withdrew all the blessings which He had intended to give to them. One day, the Bible tells us, God was asking His people to take the big step and to move into the land of milk and honey. However, before they made the move, God said to Moses, "Send out for yourself men so that they can spy out the land of Canaan." Moses obeyed God, the Bible explains, and sent men to examine the territory which lay ahead of them. Moses said, "Go and see. Go and see what the land is like and whether the people who live in this land are strong or weak and whether they are few or many. Look also at the land, whether it is good or whether it is bad." And so then the Bible tells us, after 40 days, the spies returned, and they said to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, "We went into the land where you sent us, and they said, 'It certainly flows with milk and honey.' Nevertheless," they said, "the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities they are fortified and very large. We," they said, "become like grasshoppers in our own sight." Now listen closely, because this, my friend, is where the trouble all began. You see, it is true, Moses did want an honest report. However, as a result of this report, the people began to forget the power of God who was sending them. They began to fear the future, and this is not what the Lord wanted, and this is not what Moses intended. Instead of trusting God and His word, the people adopted a worldly view of skepticism and doubt. This is very much like the Apostle Peter. Jesus asked Peter to get out of the boat and to walk on the water. And Peter, of course, was doing fine until he looked at the huge waves, and then fear overcame him. And isn't this also the way it is so often with most of us? We have opportunities to hear God calling us to leave our past behind and to move ahead in life. However, when we see all the giant hurdles of the world, then we refuse to believe that God will be with us. Not long ago, a listener wrote us and said, "I am so worried that I can't get to heaven." This is actually what she wrote. She continued by saying, "I am scared to approach Jesus Christ. I feel like I am not worthy. Can anyone," she asked, "really go to Christ in faith and receive forgiveness?" The answer to this fear-filled lady is yes, yes, yes. If you feel like this lady did, then speak to your Lord at this hour. Don't delay. Your Savior's arms, the ones which were stretched wide on the crucifixion cross, are now open for you. The prophet Isaiah reminds us that it is by the bloody wounds of Jesus Christ, the wounds he received on the cross for our sins, that you and I are healed from all of our past mistakes and given a new start in life and assured a place in heaven. Now, the Bible explains that in Moses' day, the people not only refused to move ahead, they actually wanted to go backwards. And for the Lord, this was too much. He now had it. Would it not be better, the people grumbled to Moses, for us to return to Egypt? The Lord responded by saying, "How long? How long will these people spurn me? And how long will they not believe in me, despite all the signs which I have performed in their midst?" In reading the Old Testament, one thing is clear time after time. God was so gracious to his wayward people. But in spite of these blessings, upon blessings upon blessings, these people were so thankless. And yet, before you and I become judgmental, can you and I not hear these words of God echoing in our own lives? We complain about life. We are always thinking about what we want, and we refuse to count the blessings that he has already given us. You and I need more often to confess with Martin Luther that, "I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes and ears and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still preserves them. Also clothing and shoes, meat and drink, house and home, wife and children, and all my goods." We need then to continue to thankfully confess that God, in his grace, richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life, that he defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil, and all of this purely out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me, for all which it is my duty to thank and to praise and to serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. And as you and I, by the Spirit of God, realize that we are so often unthankful for all that God has given us, then we need also to remember that unthankfulness is one of those very, very serious sins that make God very, very angry. When the people in the Bible refused to trust God and to move ahead in life, then the Lord said, "How long? How long will this people spurn me? And how long will they not believe in me despite all the signs which I have performed in their midst?" In his righteous anger, the Lord then said, "I will smite the people with pestilence, and I will dispossess them." But then Moses intervened and said to the Lord, "Pardon, pardon, I pray, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of thy loving kindness, just as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now." And because Moses did intervene, the Lord said, "I have pardoned them, according to your word." But then the Lord added this, "As I live, all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, and yet they have put me to the test and have not listened to my voice, these doubting men shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurn me see the new land. However, my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the new land." The message God had for the children of Israel was clear, crystal clear. And the message God is communicating to us today is also very, very clear. When we refuse to move ahead in life, into a new relationship with God. And when we are not thankful for His blessings, He is very angry. And when we refuse to listen to God's will and word, we will not experience the blessings He so lovingly desires to give us. When we refuse to put our past failures behind us, when we want to cling to memories of past sins, then God cannot. No, He will not permit us to enter His new land and the new relationship with Jesus Christ. Remember Joshua? He also tried to encourage people to forget the past and to move ahead. And Joshua, the son of Nun, spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they shall be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." But the Bible says the people wanted to move not forwards, but backwards into their past life. And so they stoned the messengers with stones. You know, my friends, today very little has changed. Last December, the newspapers carried the story telling of a lady who ran a convenience store. And in order to do her part in encouraging her customers to take a more positive view toward life, she poured out $10,000 worth of alcohol, and she dumped $2,000 worth of tobacco products. Then she restocked her shelves with gospel tapes and her mother's home cooking. Here is what this lady received for all of her good intentions. The newspapers reported that the booze and the tobacco proved to be this lady's financial mainstay. And as soon as she changed her product line into the gospel tapes and the home cooking, sales began to lag. And without her biggest money makers on her shelves, this lady quickly lost business, and she had to close her store in only a few weeks. "I never thought," she said, "how this would destroy me financially. I just figured it was for God, and if people loved God, they would support me and buy other things." When people are asked to change their habits and to move ahead in life, they often prefer the old ways. And like the people of Israel, who were asked by Joshua to move ahead into the land of Canaan, instead of obeying God, they stoned the prophet and insisted on staying where they were. In fact, they wanted to move backwards. You, my friends, have now heard, not my opinion, but the word of the Lord. And today the Lord is asking you to move ahead in life. Let your past be forever behind you. Don't keep dredging up all the good old days, and don't let the devil constantly replay in your mind all the regrets or the mistakes you made in the past. Instead, you know that when Jesus died on the cross, your sins were all paid for, every one of them. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses you and me from all of our sins. And therefore, now being fully forgiven in Christ, launch forth with joy and courage into life. God is graciously giving you a new start. And every time the devil tempts you to fear the future, say, "Get behind me, Satan." God is always with you. And with the Lord at your side, and with the power of Christ's resurrection within you, you can be absolutely sure that even though life at times may be difficult, in Christ you will overcome and you will live forever in victory with your Savior alongside you every day. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.